Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
For the Monday morning service of September the 1st, Labor Day camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Dale Copeland is the minister on this.
There's a realm of the Spirit that is in us, lives in us. We're not God's vacation home. We're not. He's not visiting, and he really lives somewhere else. See, the church world's they got several Jesuses. We're not his vacation home, and he ain't got a vacation home somewhere else. We are the dwelling place. We are the habitation. Know you not that your body is the temple of God, whose temple you are. Your body is the dwelling of the Holy Ghost. The Scripture said you're of lively stones. You're being built a habitation of the Spirit. You see? My goodness. This thing is don't look nothing like we've been taught in time past. This is powerful. I said, don't rob me with a mansion like the church world preaches it. Don't try to rob me and plunder me. Man, from the power of God working, living, coming up and down in my body and manifesting His glory and His power in a lost and dying. Don't rob me of being over all the works of His hands. Try to set me off, send me off somewhere to skip and hop around and do nothing except just, you know, just glorify and praise God. God didn't create, He didn't put Adam and say, now you just stay in there and just lift your hands and glorify and praise me. He said, go to work. Manifest who I am. See? That's what the will of God is for us. Romans 15:19 says, through mighty signs and wonders, I've fully preached the gospel of Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We'll read through 6. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the words, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a recompense of reward or a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us? You get it? Confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness. How? How did God bear them witness? I'm ready for God to bear us witness. You know what? And He ain't going to bear us witness if we ain't got it right. He's not going to put His... He is not a rubber stamp God. He don't just stamp anything we throw out there. You know, people go into debt head over heels to get in business and then want God to rubber stamp them. Blessed. They'll do things totally out of the will of God and want God to put His stamp of blessing on it. He's not a rubber stamp God. He'll bless what He authors. He'll bless what proceeds forth from Him in His way. Now, it said, He bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. A lot of people puts that world to come way on out here. Listen, the world, you got to understand what world was ending and what world was coming into being 2,000 years ago, and the angels has not been in power of this one. I'm telling you something. He said, if you say to the mountain, be removed. You realize that the power and the authority has been given unto us, but when the Holy Ghost come, He says, you should receive power. Power to do what? Overall, He gave them power over all the enemy 2,000 years ago. And they come rejoicing, dancing about it, didn't they? And He said, don't just rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. King James says, rejoice that your names is written in heaven. What He's simply saying is rejoice that you have a entrance into the spirit realm. Man, you've got access to the Spirit. Rejoice because of that. And we have access to the Spirit of God. And He said, what is, but at a certain place He testified saying, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the Son of Man you visit him? And I got another 2 hours and I can't I can't do it. All right, let's go on here. Hebrews chapter 10, 24. Let us consider one another. Now, understanding the works that we've been talking about, now don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. But the world can put up a soup kitchen. Not that the saints ought not do that. You understand? We ought to feed and help too. But the world can put us up a soup kitchen or have a coat drive and things like, and they do. There ain't nothing wrong with that. We need to have compassion. But that is not the works of the Lord. The works that will bear witness will be works that man can't do on his own. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? And he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. In other words, I am provoking you, heal the sick. I am provoking you, raise the dead. You know what? All of a sudden you know why? Because we still think we're doing it. We still think it's us. I hope I get to some things that I absolutely need to get to that will help us. I'm talking about doing the works of God. What is the work of God? Can the kingdom of God be proved in you? If we're doing the work of God, it can. See? If we're doing the work of God, it can. James chapter 2, verse 17. We'll read through 26. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Well, what kind of works do you think he'd be talking about there? See, we put the works of faith as all kinds of stuff. But when you start studying the works of Jesus, the works of God in the Scriptures, you're going to find out that it's raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out devils, cleansing the leper, making the blind to see. That's faith without works. You know what? That just slayed me. When I seen that just slayed me. I said, my God, we've been saying we had faith and we ain't got no works. I mean, you know, we got some works, but they're so hit and miss and sparse, you'd hate to have to try to get a harvest from it. You hate to try to, you know, live from, you know what I'm saying? You go out there and plant a garden, you have a plant here, and you go way over here and put a plant, and, you know, skip three or four rows and have a plant. Then try to eat from that, you're going to be hungry. And that's where we've been. We've been hungry, haven't we? We've been left hungry. He said, yea, a man say thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show you my faith by my works. See, the church world's been showing us their faith without their works, without his works. He said, the works that I do, you should do. We say we believe, but we've not put forth the work. So he said, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But in other words, you can have powerless faith. It doesn't mean anything, does it? For as the body without the spirit, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let me just say this. Jesus could have come and preached like a blue streak. And you know what? If he had not performed miracles and demonstrated the power of God, God approving him and showing his approval in demonstration of the power of God behind it, no one would have listened. That's kind of where we are in it. We know we have something. We know we have access to something. But you know what? We're going to have to get before God. We're going to have him adjust our thinking, our mind, and stuff, so we can receive our healing, and so we can heal people. See, I mean, I found out something. It ain't enough for me to just have faith for somebody's healing. I have to learn how to be able to dispel their doubts so they can receive it. See, so it takes the wisdom of God, and this is not. From where we're started, we may not see an immediate turnaround overnight. But my God, let's start. You know, let's get on the path and on the road. And the Scripture said in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Like I say, that's not bringing a meal to brother so-and-so or because, you know, when they had a funeral, well, you're going to bring a meal, and you call that good works. The world can do that and does that. the good works that the Scriptures are talking about that it takes faith for is the demonstration of the power of God. Faith without the power of God being manifested is dead. I ain't never said that one, but I believe it. I believe it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Can the kingdom of God be proved? Sure it can. Let's read verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not talking about now there. You've got to understand the difference between the law and grace. They had the works of the flesh. They had the works of the law. And now you got the works of the new covenant, which is the power of God. Right? Now, and it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Good works. I'm telling you something. The church of God, the body of Christ, should be the most powerful force in the earth. You ought not be able to draw a congregation because of miracles and healings. In other words, there is enough people who have claimed to be saved, claimed to be children of God, that it ought to be so common on every street corner, wherever there's a church, that there ought to be healings and miracles and deliverance and raising the dead and stuff. You ought not be able to get a crowd just because it's so rare. John 9, 1 and 4. I want to show you what I've been saying this now. I just want to quickly show you what the works of God is. There's so much. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I may have said the other night that's one of the stupidest statements that questions anybody could ask is, who did sin? This man's born blind from his womb, from his birth. Now, what do you think he done? Sinned in his womb, in the womb? If he was born blind, who did sin? This man? You catching it? When did he sin? While he was in the womb? If he was blind from his birth, he hadn't done any sin to be blind. So that really wasn't a very smart question. But look what he said. Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now this is a doubt to many Christians. They think that sickness is happening so God can get glory. Let me just show you something here. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. Well, what did Jesus do? He healed him. So the works of Jesus, the works of God, the works of him that sent him, was to heal. Now, you got to get this, because a lot of people, they die of their sickness that God is getting glory from. In other words, I don't know, you know, I think there's something good coming from this. Well, what have you learned? I don't know why, but, and they get sick plumb to death, and they never know why there's glory. Let me tell you, the principle of this story, don't ever say that you're sick for the glory of God unless you get healed. Because that's the pattern. See, the pattern is he got healed. There wouldn't have been no glory if he hadn't healed him. So you ain't sick for the glory of God if you don't get healed. Praise the Lord. Now just dispel another doubt, see? Just dispel another doubt. The works of God here was healing, wasn't it? And it says in Revelation 2:26, he that overcometh keepeth my works. What's his works? See, we've been dealing on, can the kingdom of God be proved? Sure, works will follow them. That kind of works. The works of God must be manifest. Listen, because if Jesus is in us, he's doing his works. My. Otherwise, you know what you and I are? We're a bunch of unprofitable stewards that are bringing no increase, and no wonder we're dying. Because you know what he does? He takes from the unprofitable one that buries a talent, and he gives it to somebody that's bringing some increase. And he'll take that treasure, he just lets us go off the scene. If we're not going to bring increase into the kingdom of God, if we're not going to preach life and the life of Jesus and the power of the cross far above sin, that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Listen, sin come into the world by one man and death by sin. But where sin did abound, the church world is still living under the fall. Do you realize that? We're still living under the results of the fall when we've been redeemed. Why? Why? Because we've been plundered. We have been robbed blind of the power of God. He said, He's overcome with keeping my works unto thee, and I'll give power over the nations. Listen, if we're not doing the works of God, forget the power over the nations. In 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know what? That's why Jesus is manifested today. That's the reason Jesus always needs to be manifested, is to destroy the works of the devil. And if we're not manifesting Jesus, we're letting the devil have free run, ain't we? My. Jesus. Like I said, I ain't mincing words. I don't have time to mince them. John chapter 6, verse 28. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That we might be active in the works of God. And Jesus said unto them, this is the work. Now you got to do the work before you get the works. This is the work. Believe on Him whom God has sent. That word believe is a whole lot more than a mental consent. When you believe something, you commit yourself to it. You know, you'd never take off from that red light unless you believed it had turned green. Unless you believed it was clear. Had you known somebody was going to run that red light, you seen them coming, you believed you were safe or you would have sat still. In other words, you conduct your life by what you believe. Everything, you put yourself into action by what you believe. So to believe on Him whom God has sent, I'm telling you something, it is a finished work. You or I can't add nothing to it. It's finished. We're not going to add a lick of anything to it. Have faith in God. God sent Him. And He sent Him to do it, and He did it. Have faith in God. Have faith in His sacrifice. Have faith in His work. The Scripture says in Colossians, it says, through faith in the operation of God, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. In other words, this is through faith in God's plan, in God's operation. And God's plan was that He send His Son to redeem us and set us back in authority and power and unity and not have to live under the fall. And the church world for 2,000 years has lived under what they've been redeemed from. John 10:37. I've read this a while ago. Jesus said, if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do, even if you don't believe my message, see, we have got access to something greater than a story to tell. We got the power of God living in us. If the kingdom of God is in you, it came with power. See, the kingdom didn't come and leave the power somewhere else. The power's with. And by the way, the kingdom didn't come and leave the king somewhere else. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We're preaching the kingdom of God, the realm of the Spirit. See, people's got all kinds of concepts of the kingdom of God. But what I'm preaching today is the realm of the Spirit. That's what will make us alive. It is the power of the Spirit of God that will make us alive. And in John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus is praying to the Father, and He said, as Thou hast sent Me, even so have I also sent them. Well, how did He send Him? He said, I must do the works. I've been sent to do this. And He healed and delivered, didn't He? He set free. He broke bands of bondage. He healed broken hearts. See? And He raised the dead. If he had not wanted us to live, why would he have demonstrated? If God gets glory from sickness, Jesus sure robbed God of a lot of glory. You know, he actively worked against God. If sickness brings God glory. Listen, sickness don't bring God glory, but see you healed brings Him glory. See you delivered brings Him glory. See you set free. But see, that's not enough. I'm not interested in praying for a few folks and getting a few people healed. I want to see them people get equipped so that while I continue, now it's duplicated. And I encourage you, you have the faith. If you have faith, Jesus didn't tell you to have faith in yourself. I think I said this the other night, maybe. I don't remember. Jesus did not say, have faith in your faith. I was driving home one night, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I did not tell you to have faith in your faith. I told you to have faith in me. And what has happened is that most of us have greater faith in our insufficiency. We have greater faith. It's really doubt. But we have greater faith in our lack. We have greater faith in our failures than we do Jesus' success. In other words, we have kept in our minds and in our heart, we've kept sin stronger than Jesus' righteousness. But I want to tell you something. I said it the other night, I think, and I'll say it again. God took everything we deserved, including everything we were, and put it on Jesus. And He took everything that Jesus was and everything He deserved, and He gave it to us. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm telling you, there's real life working in us. There's a real Jesus. See, this ain't a mental imagery stuff. Most of the church world has got an image of Jesus. They've got an imaginary Jesus. They've got imaginary spirit. They believe they've been saved because they've been told they were saved, you know, and things like that. But they never had nothing. Listen, how can you get Jesus in your heart and never see Him? Never see Him manifest? I tell you what, I come to a place where I was ashamed to say, I was ashamed to tell people that Jesus lives in here. Because I thought, my God, anytime there's any situation, I act like He ain't in here. Why tell people He can do all things, but He can't do nothing in you or me? I know this is sobering. It's time for us to be sober, isn't it? It's time for us to... I'm not trying to tell you the problems. I'm trying to tell you Jesus is the answer. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He is the expectation. And when I go to lay hands, or when you go to lay hands on somebody, have expectation of Jesus who is in you healing them. Christ in you. What is your expectation of Christ in you? See, it's not you that's healing them. But I am so religionized. Now, I'm telling you all something. I shared this with Brother Donnie, and I've told our church. I said, look, I'm not walking in the fullness of what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, I'm pointing our assembly in a direction. And I said, it's like looking for a golf ball out there in the grass. I said, I can look all day long, maybe not find it. But if I can get 100 people looking, somebody's going to pick it up and say, I found it. Here it is. If I can get you pointed that direction, searching, seeking the heart of God, listening for the voice of the Spirit, I'm telling you something, we're going to add one to another, aren't we? And you know what? And God's going to give the increase. See, God's going to give the increase. So, you know, the world's heard her talk. Jesus said, as you sent me, I sent them. And He said in verse 22, He said, the glory that you gave me, I've given them. So you know what? You got the same glory Jesus did. Same glory that Jesus had. See, that dispels this doubt, but that was Jesus. The same glory, He said, that you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, and they may be made perfect in one. If Jesus is in them and the Father's in Jesus, then the Father and Jesus is in us. If Jesus is in us and the Father's in Jesus, Ain't that what it said? That the world may know. I'm telling you something, the world needs to know. Can you? Not because of our stories, not because of our preaching. The world needs to know that you have sent Him, or that Jesus is the Christ. When you know what Peter was preaching when the Holy Ghost fell? That Jesus was the Anointed One. That's what Peter was preaching. He wasn't preaching get baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was preaching that Jesus was the Christ. And the Holy Ghost fell on the house of Cornelius. My goodness. The world needs to know. How are they going to know? Well, if we're one with Him, we do the works that He did. We've got the glory He got. And it says, and that they'll not just know that you sent Him, but the world will know that the Father, if you're reading with me in verse 23, that the Father has loved us as it loved Jesus. That's almost incomprehensible, isn't it? I can't hardly take that one. I'll just being honest with you. I still don't know how to handle that one. I do not know how to handle that I am loved by the Father like Jesus was. Because, see, that opens every door. There is no excuse for no failure there. If we could just comprehend. That's why the Bible said that we might comprehend. Remember? That we may be able to comprehend the height, depth, width, and breadth of the love of God, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness. My God, my God. This is great. I said the world has heard our talk. It's time to show the world our power. You know, it's time for us to quit telling God about all our great big problems. People, they go to, you know, they come sliding into their altar and say, "Oh, God! Help me, Lord! Lord, this is so big!" You know, I preached a message one time. The Lord gave me a message, said, and I told the people, I said, "You quit telling God about your problems and you start telling your problems about God." You start telling your problems, your big problems, about how big your God is. See, we've got this thing so, we're always approaching this thing from under the table. But we're not beggars. We're sons of God. Telling them Sunday, some people in my own immediate family said one time, they said, individual said, "Son, I'm ashamed of you." Said, "Who do you think you are? You're trying to attain far more than what God ever intended for us to have." I know who I am. I'm the righteousness of God. See, I didn't do anything to get it. Matter of fact, I was the black sheep of the family. If anybody was voted for failure, it was me. See, I was most likely to fail. Instead of, you know, they vote most likely to succeed. I was most likely to fail. And my dad told me one time, said, "Dad, son, I'm proud of you." He said, "I thought sure you was going to be in prison." So, you know, what I'm saying is I'm the righteousness of God. Why? Because He exchanged everything I deserved. And I got everything He deserves. That's the mercy and the love. That's the good news, folks, of the kingdom of God. I'm telling you something, it's more than a story. It's life within us. You know, I said we need to stop telling our big problems, telling God about our big problems, and tell our big problems about our bigger God. And Jesus said it like this, if you say to the mountain, didn't He? If you say to the mountain, say, you know, we're going to have to learn to stand in faith and speak to our problems the Word of God. Because God already knows about our problems. But does your problems know about God? In other words, have you brought in the power of the Spirit of God into them? It'll change the face of things quickly, won't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can the kingdom of God be proved? Absolutely it can. And not only can it must. It must be proved. I will not be satisfied to, like I say, I know I've learned something in this. Don't let yourself be condemned before you are. If you're not You know, wherever you are, start there and head toward Jesus. Wherever you are, I don't care. You know, I feel like I feel like I'm very ill-equipped in the sense of I've learned much about messages of doctrine of the kingdom of God. I can, you know, go into the book of Revelation and dispel symbols that bring no life. I've been busy for many years about that, which absolutely been talking about life, but never living life. Never bringing, not that life living in us, just talking about what we're going to get, what's getting ready to happen, what's getting ready to take place, instead of letting Him who is in me live His life. So I feel like I feel like I'm running from behind, but I promise you one thing. I found out something. You know, we pray for people, we get, I don't know, used to we pray for people, we might have got 1 or 2% healed. You know, and seems like we're so thankful that God has, as we're learning to dispel doubts, and as we're learning to quit having faith in me, and I still do sometimes. There was just a recent incident. A lady had a broken rib and had had pneumonia, and she from coughing she broke her rib, and she had a big knot on her side, and she come up for prayer, and the Lord instantly healed, took the knot. She said, but the pain is still in, the pain's still in the rib. I said, well, let's get that fixed. All right, we prayed for that. The Lord instantly healed that. I said, now check it out, because she couldn't even do that hard. She couldn't hardly breathe at all. And boy, she was just a breathing. I said, now don't get dizzy and fall over because you're taking in so much oxygen, you know. And I said, check it out, feel it. Well, she couldn't make it hurt. Now that's 2 miracles, and she says, now I need these prayed for. Had arthritis in her hand. And something happened in me. It scared me. I'm just being honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for a flash, just for a moment. I thought, oh my God. And we didn't get her healed on her hands. I'm telling you something. Why would I have felt that unless there's still some residue of me thinking it's me? I'm being honest, Brother Glenn. That's the only thing that's going to help us, because every one of you, we're going to have. It's a being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You leave here and you're going to start renewing your mind. It's not me. It's Him. It's Christ in me. It is not me. It has nothing to do with how righteous I am. It has everything to do with how righteous He is. See, it's not me. That's why, my goodness, I saw people that. I saw, because they understood that and stood on that, I saw people get healed that I just wouldn't have gave a chance. My goodness. I just wouldn't have given them a chance at all. But the Lord healed them. And so I encourage you, let's start from wherever we are, and let's understand it's for us and it's not been withheld. God's not saying, okay, now hold it now. Y'all just hold back now. I'm going to say go here in a little while, one of these days, and it's all going to happen real quick. No, it's in us now. If you know, the kingdom hadn't left, there ain't nothing been left somewhere else. The kingdom is in us. The power, Jesus is in us. And so what we have to do is learn to believe in the operation of God by faith. The Scripture said through faith in the operation of God. And I'll tell you something. What you'll begin to do, you'll get a holy discontent for the status quo. A holy discontent for the status quo. That you'll say, who was it, Rachel, that told, I'm trying to think, to Jacob, said, give me a child, lest I die. Lest I die. In other words, we're discontent that, my God, I'd rather not live than to not see Your kingdom manifested in me. You know, Job said it's like this: more than my necessary bread, he desired something else. You know, there's got to be a holy discontent. and a godly hunger for the things of God. And it's not going to be taught in us. It's going to be birthed in our spirit. It's going to be birthed in us. And the things that I've said today, if it be true revelation, it will spawn much more revelation than what I've said. If you only take home what I've said, it's really profited you little. But if you take home, I'm telling you, every seed that's sown will bring forth a harvest if there's life in it. Right? If it goes into good earth, it's going to bring forth a whole lot more than what you've heard. God's going to keep enlarging it in your spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's been a privilege to be here and to share with you. May the life of God minister through you and to you. And it's His will that we prosper and be in health. How? As our soul prospers. And you know what? He wants our soul to prosper. That's what's happening today, that our mind, will, and emotions, we're being transformed, metamorphosed. That's the only way it's going to happen. See, for life and immortality to take place, for immortality, the Bible said it like this. See, we've got a dilemma here. The Bible said, He only hath immortality, don't it? Dwelling in the light. And it said, where no man can approach. Well, that just kind of leaves us at arm's reach. But then it says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He's the one that's got it. And make no provision for the flesh. And then it said, this mortal must put on immortality, but it said no man could approach it. What it's saying, which no man can approach, no man can, on his own merits, on his own righteousness, any good things he does, is going to come into this thing. You're going to have to put on Jesus' righteousness. See? You're going to have to put on His righteousness. And I'm telling you something, that is so humiliating to the self-righteous. It really is. Matter of fact, it offended me. It offended me. When the Lord gave this to me, it offended me because I thought, well, my God, you mean all of my labor and work and trying to do this and this right and this right, that don't merit anything? That ain't turned God's head a bit. It's the righteousness of Jesus that has turned God's head. And He took, listen, all of my stuff is like filthy rag. It would not have paid for one drop of Jesus' blood. All of my right doing. All of my struggle. If I struggled a lifetime and did it right, it wouldn't have merited His life. He took all that I deserved because I was lost. I was a sinner. See, I've said this before. I said it the other night. I don't care if you sinned a million times. You ain't no more unworthy to be forgiven than somebody that only sinned once. Now, that's grace. That's grace. See? See, because what happens is the devil starts lying to you all. You fail, and you come and you get help, and then you go good for a while, and then you stumble. And pretty soon, you know what happens? You just quit asking God to forgive you because you know in your mind that I've told the Lord, Lord, if you don't change me, I'm going to mess up again tomorrow. You know, and so what happens is the enemy finally beats you down to where he says, well, God don't want you to ask Him forgiveness no more. You don't deserve to ask. Who do you think you are? You just asked forgiveness, and now look what you're doing already again now. Am I ministering to anybody or just me? And so I got where I would go a while, and I wouldn't even ask God's forgiveness because I thought, I just ain't worthy. And the Lord made me to know, you never was worthy. And never will be. And every sin that will ever be committed has already been took care of at the cross. Where sin has abounded, God's grace did much more abound. He's removed that. I'll tell you something. The cross is powerful. It's powerful enough to roll it all the way back to Adam, folks. Now, we just got to walk in it. It's not an issue of getting power. It's not an issue of all these things. It's an issue of believing in the gospel or the preaching of the cross. That's what it is. Believing in the cross of Christ. The Bible said it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. See, I said the other night, saved doesn't mean what most people, to me, what most people, when I say saved, they think about they come to the altar or something, they've got born of the Spirit, so now they're saved. As long as there's any part, spirit, soul, or body, any part that's left under the fall, then the consequences, we're not saved, fully saved, till every part that was lost is redeemed. I don't want to leave one thing in the fallen realm. Jesus' blood did it all. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Are you going to serve lunch or something? Okay.
Everybody's welcome.
Praise the Lord.
I don't think they're going to charge anything.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. I'm thankful for your hunger, your desire to hear. If you need something, now we're going to do it a different way than how I normally do it. I'm just trying to hear the Lord, because you know I'm trying to consider time and several things involved here, but we really want to just hear the Lord. Normally we would lay hands on people. That's Jesus' normal way of getting people healed or delivered. He normally went and laid hands on people. Come out of our hands. Sometimes we feel heat. I don't know. Let people tell you when you're praying for people. Let them tell you what they're feeling. Don't you tell them, do you feel this or do you feel that? Let them tell you, what are you feeling? They say, well, I feel electricity. Well, that's God's doing a creative miracle. Or if I feel heat, well, either one will get you healed, you know. But the thing is, I'm talking about, I'm trying to equip you when you're praying for people. Because it's not the will of God you just come here and get delivered. But man, we get delivered to deliver others. You know, that's the purpose of this thing, not just so we can take it home and be selfish and live a good life the rest of our life ourselves. Say, this is not what this is about. And so, but anyway, well, if you need a touch from the Lord, we're going to, see, I found out something. Why would you ask God for what He's already given you? Now, I'm going to take everything I got out of this pocket. That's it all. That's all I got right there. Some keys and some change. I'm going to give it to this brother. The Bible said He's given us everything. He emptied Himself. He gave it all. Everything. God didn't leave nothing in heaven that pertains to life and godliness. He gave us everything. He hath given, past tense, us all things. All things means nothing's. He emptied the cupboard, so to speak. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Life, I'm telling you, anything that pertains to life, where you're talking about casting out devils, you're talking about getting people healed, where you're talking about healing broken hearts, fixing marriages, it don't make no difference what the problem is. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, why would this brother sit here holding my keys, praying for keys?
Amen. Amen.
When he hath given us. Why? Now, wouldn't he look silly standing here holding my keys? Everybody see him, and he said, "Please give me your keys." That's what we've done. That's what we've done. But what we do is we thank God for what He's given us. We acknowledge it is ours. I may have said this the other night, but I think it's very important to say it again, especially in healing and deliverance and things. And is when somebody comes and gives their heart to the Lord, they accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Jesus don't run over here somewhere and die on the cross so they can be saved. He done it. So when somebody needs healed, he don't run over here and get healing and get whipped. He done it. That's why the Bible said, by his stripes you were healed. Now, where is all these things at? The Bible said they're reserved. You know what reserved means? That means held for. They're reserved in heaven or the spiritual realm. That's where God abides. Where does God dwell? My goodness, deliverance is in us. Healing is in us. Jesus is in us. They're reserved in the spirit realm for you. That's like me taking $10,000 and going down there and putting it in the bank and giving you a checkbook. It's reserved in the bank for you. What do you need to do? Do you need to come and ask me for it? No, you just need to make a withdrawal. Because when you go to heal the sick, you're doing God's business. He put it in there for you to withdraw it. In other words, it wasn't my idea to lay hands on nobody anyway. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't my idea to heal the sick. It wasn't my idea to cast out a devil. As a matter of fact, I run from that for a while. You know, till there wasn't nothing left to do but cast it out. You know, as long as it had me on the run, it was bold. But, you know, pretty soon it cornered me, and I realized I had more power than what I thought. But what I'm saying is, so when you get ready to pray for somebody, all of you, matter of fact, if you need a touch from the Lord right now, I want you to, and if there's any, a lot of times there's something from somebody's past, they think, well, I don't deserve to be healed, or I caused this. Or if I hadn't smoked for 20 years, I wouldn't have this trouble now. So why would God want to heal me? Because I've done this and this. And you know what I'm saying. I mean, all these kind of things. Or I sin so greatly and man, I've messed up so bad that I can never be totally forgiven or completely healed. And I've got this problem because of. You can fill in the line after it. But what I want every one of us to do is to envision ourselves dressed in white. The righteousness of God. Can you see yourself dressed in white with the righteousness of God, just like everybody else, even the good, great, the godly saints that you know, dressed in white? Now, if you need healing, I don't care what it is. All you need to say is, this healing, say it after me, this healing, belongs to me. Because of what Jesus has done. Now, Father, we thank you for it. We release healing. You just receive it, see? You don't have to try. We release healing in Jesus' name. Lord, it belongs to us. It belongs to your people because of what Jesus has done. Because of what Jesus has done. We don't base it on any of ourselves. We don't base it on our faith in you. We base it on what Jesus has done. It is ours. I speak healing to this body. Thank you, Jesus. I speak healing in Jesus' name. Let's say it again. This healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. Thank you for it, Lord. All we're doing is receiving what He's done provided. We're not begging God for nothing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your grace. And I'll tell you what, the longer, sometimes we pray for somebody, it takes 15, 20 minutes to see the miracle manifest. But the longer you just receive, you're just receiving. How, you know, do you want what's yours? You just have to receive it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I encourage you this. If you haven't received everything, anybody got any pain in their body? Come on up here.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Where you got this, brother? What you think? Your shoulder right here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's your first name?
Bruce.
This healing belongs to Bruce. Say that after me. This healing belongs to Bruce because of what Jesus has done. Would you agree with that? Would you say this healing belongs to me?
This healing belongs to me.
Why?
Because of what Jesus has done.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for it, Jesus. I tell you what, sometimes we've had so much fun seeing people healed that just people pretty near just rolling the floor laughing. To see just it, because I'm not healing nobody. I can't. Nor can you. But you know what? You can help. You can believe God to help them. You can believe God for that. You can pray for God to help somebody, can't you? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I rebuke this pain in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You think it's your shoulder joint or something? Or what do you think it was? You don't know? Thank you, Father. Pray. How many of you know Joshua? Brother Glenn's listened to Joshua on the answering machine a few times. My little boy. He was wrestling and he got run into his front legs, and bent his and it throwed his knee out of joint. And he hopped around there for I don't know, 2 or 3 days and just whined and cried, and finally I was sitting in the recliner and finally he crawled up in my lap. He said, "Daddy, would you pray for me?" I said, "Sure, I'll pray for you, son." And, I didn't feel spiritual. I was sitting there watching television. And I said, "This healing belongs to Joshua because of what Jesus has done." And I saw his knee went plumb out around and twisted back and popped and come back in place. And his eyes are big. He said, "Did you see that?" And I was just as surprised as he was. I said, "Yeah, I saw that." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say it again. This healing belongs to Bruce. Because of what Jesus has done. Would you say that again?
This healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done.
See, we don't need to be timid about something. I've said this too before. I said, if I gave you $10 to go buy $5 or 5 pounds worth of hamburger meat, would you let them give you a pound after you paid for gave $10 for it? You'd say, "Hold it! Now you shorted me here. Now you put that back on the scales." You know what? What I'm saying is, you wouldn't be timid. Well, Jesus paid for our healing. It's ours. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you want to say something?
I can't hear nothing.
Oh, okay.
I took them hearing aids out.
Uh-huh.
And they were whistling, and then they finally got dimmer and dimmer.
Okay.
So I need
something to get louder and louder then, don't you? All right. We're going to pray for this brother first. Praise the Lord. What's your name?
Ernest.
Thank you, Jesus. Healing belongs to Ernest.
Healing belongs to Ernest.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Could you say healing belongs to me?
Healing belongs to me. Because of what Jesus has done.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for healing. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Every bit of this to be made whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak the quickening life. The Bible said if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in us, that Spirit shall also quicken our dying body, our mortal body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother said, as an engineer, you know, you want to figure things out. I had got to a place where I was trying to tell God, I thought I knew how God needed to heal things. And God told me, He said, you quit worrying about how I'm going to do it and just believe I'll do it. You know, in other words, quit dictating to Him the way that He would do it and just believe that He'll do it. Thank you, Jesus. Was this hurting at all? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I speak to this tendon in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you for strength in them, for this thing coming together. I thank you for wholeness. What was your name?
Ernest.
This healing belongs to Ernest?
This healing belongs to Ernest.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Thank you, Lord. Make that confession with us.
This healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done.
My God.
And I receive.
My God. You know what? When I say that, I cast every bit of my righteousness just over in the pit and just take on His. In other words, it ain't based on nothing that I can do or anything. I just believe God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for victory, for healing for this body. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me share with you something. Here's a doubt that can happen. See, it don't take, you know what? All kinds of valves can shut off a water pipe. Don't take the same kind of valve. And so all kinds of doubts can keep somebody from receiving. And that's not to, it's not to put blame or to blame anybody, but it's to identify the problem and remove it. That's the necessary thing. And sometimes, because like I said, I was at the point, well, I can get others healed, but I can't receive. I can't hardly believe because I'm one that I like to figure things out. And I'm always amazed when I see God heal somebody. And it's not that I didn't believe, but I'm amazed at His glory, I mean, His wondrous works that He is so mighty. He's better than I ever thought, you know. And so it's important for us to, like I say, I intended for my fingers to be healed like that. But somebody said a while back to me, said, well, I don't want to wait. I don't want this thing to take a whole year. And I said, well, what will you have if you don't get healed at all? I said, you know, you don't put a timeline on God and demand that God do certain things in a certain way. Just believe and you see yourself that way. I saw fingers. I never held my fingers up, but what I saw, fingernails. I refuse to see anything else except being made whole. And what I'm saying is, in, you know, 2 or 3 months, every morning, seeing, you know, tore up hide and everything else, but it took 6 months, but it growed back without a scar. And I had, you know, and I didn't have any, I had all the meat stripped off. It wasn't sewed back. It wasn't done anything back. It just pulled up there as best we could get it and wrapped up. So what I'm saying is the enemy started telling me, it ain't never going to happen, buddy. You just well throw it away. You just well give up. It ain't going to happen. You've told all these people, now you're going to look like a fool. You know? You just made a fool of yourself. But you know what? I thought, my God, I don't care. I'll die saying these things are going to grow back. You know, I will not throw in the towel. And the Bible said Jesus Christ is the high priest of our profession. He's the high priest of our profession. You know what? If you don't give Him anything, if you don't give Him a confession, He can't be high priest over it. You just think about that a little bit. Now, you say, oh, that's charismatic. Well, you don't throw away every truth somebody has just because you don't agree with everything they do or they believe. You understand what I'm saying? So, see, Jesus said, if you deny me, I'll deny you before the angels. Remember that? That's in the Scripture. I'll deny you before the angels. Well, I wondered what that meant. Well, he says he's the high priest of our confession. Well, who's he going to confess us to? If we make a confession, he don't deny. If we confess him, if he'll confess us before the angels. If we deny him, he'll deny us before the angels. What's angels? They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister. Well, you know what? I can just see Jesus say, healing. And then if we throw away our confession, he says, hold it! I'm telling you something. We need to give our high priest something to work with. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. This healing belongs to Ernest.
This healing belongs to Ernest.
Because of what Jesus has done. Thank you, Jesus. Now line up, buddy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't despise. If you get a 10% healing, don't despise your 10% healing. You know what you do? You build on it. So many times I've seen people, maybe they get the pain gone, and they say, but I'm still like this. And they say, well, I didn't get it. And then they get the pain back because they give up. And what you do is you hold, you build. You say, God, I thank you for this. Now give me another 10. You know, and give me another 10. Until you get it all. And it's the will of the Father for us to get it immediately. But He knows how we can receive. He's God. He knows how we can receive and He knows what will take place. And as our faith is, faith in what? Faith in God. So be it unto us, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. See, I don't heal anybody and you will never heal anybody, but all that you are is an extension cord. It's kind of like when you plug an extension cord into the power saw, the cord is not the power. It's just what transfers the power in that sense. It just carries the power. We're just vessels that this treasure's in. We're not the treasure. He's the treasure. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what we're seeing, if we're seeing anything. Did you feel anything in that? Well, I shouldn't even ask you that. What have you felt? Nothing? All right. Praise the Lord. Mine did. Praise the Lord. Come here, huh? My wife has had a burden for your hearing.
Yes.
Matter of fact, we've contemplated just making a trip up here and laying hands on you.
All right.
She's right here. We're going to pray for you. This healing belongs to Sister Mildred.
This healing belongs to Sister Mildred.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Healing into this body. You don't have to try to get it. Just receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I speak healing to this body. I rebuke this spirit.
Blessed Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That would hinder this
blessed
healing.
Lord. Praise
in Jesus' name.
Glory, glory.
In Jesus' name. Father, thank you.
Open
these
hallelujah.
Ears.
Hallelujah.
Open these ears. Because of what
hallelujah.
Jesus has done.
Blessed be your name.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Blessed name.
Healing
blessed
your bones. In
oh,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise you.
Yes.
Thank
you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This healing belongs to Sister Mildred.
I know that could.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
This healing is yours, sister. This healing is yours. Can you hear me? Not very good. This healing belongs to you.
The last few months has got worse.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open up these ears. Matter of fact, the last...
Oh, God, this is exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask
right.
or even think.
Amen.
Amen.
Got a stroke?
Yeah, 2 years ago, February 21st.
What's her name?
Brenda.
Brenda? Sister Brenda had a stroke 2 years ago, February the 21st.
Yeah.
And she's not been able to speak since. Brent.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Well. Yeah. Brenda,
healing belongs to Sister Brenda. Because of what Jesus has done. It's yours. Folks, the Bible said freely we have received. Freely give. We don't withhold. And I just long for the time that we lay hold of this where we know what we've got so we can freely give it. Instead of trying to have faith in what we got. You know what I'm talking about. Trying to get more muster up, some more belief and things like that. Yeah. We struggle and we labor. But we which have believed do rest. We're going to have to find a place where we know. We don't just believe, we know. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for making everything right. In Jesus' name. Started her on the journey of restoration. In Jesus' name. Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus. Every bit of this, yes.
Yes.
Total restoration. Be healed. Be healed. Receive your healing. In Jesus' name.
Total restoration.
Be he. The work is finished. Receive that which he has provided. This healing belongs to Sister Brenda.
Healing belongs to Sister Brenda.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let her say her words, let her be able to form them.
In
the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Every nerve ending. Every nerve ending, every bit of this damage, be done. I command healing in Jesus' name.
Yeah, God.
I don't know. Yeah, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, it is yours. It belongs to you. Don't settle for nothing less. The Lord asked me a question. I was driving over the mountain, coming to our house one time, and he said, why have you learned to cope with what I died to destroy? That's what we've done, isn't it? We have learned to cope with what, and try to get by and live with what Jesus died to destroy. He said, why have you settled for less than what I've made available to you? I couldn't say nothing, but I don't know. We just didn't know and are still learning how. But I believe this with all my heart. I'll tell you something. If you haven't seen just a direct manifestation, I would encourage you this. The process has started. Now, there is a law of the Spirit that's just like the law of gravity. Let me give you an example. When you go and you pull the plug on your bathtub, it don't go whoosh. But I promise you one thing, unless the line is stopped up, you have created the process that will empty the tub before it's over. You've started something in motion that will get the job done. Just don't put the plug back in. You know, it will empty itself, and healing will manifest itself if you just stand and on the Word of God and you believe, you receive, and you reject everything that ain't of God.
Hey, brother.
Praise the Lord. Total restoration. Nothing short. Don't leave one thing behind.
Oh, God. Praise the Lord.
It'll get better. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You'll praise yourself right into it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That might seem small unless you haven't been able to do it.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Let's bow our head. Father, we're thankful to you. We appreciate your love and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for that which has been spoke, Lord, that which you have spoke. Lord, we're the vessel. You're the treasure. Lord, we just thank you for good ground, good earth. Lord, we thank you for an abundance of harvest to come forth. God, let, oh God, see your hearts, Father. Oh God, we have a passion to see people delivered, set free, made whole. Lord, to see a passion to see your plan and your purpose manifested in an operation in the earth. Father, we thank you. We know it's your will in us that the kingdom of God be manifested through us in Jesus' name. Bless every heart. Bless this food. God, thank you for it. Bless it to our bodies. Thank you for what you provided for us in the natural realm, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for your abiding presence within. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC
www.freeaudiofilesonline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.